السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والعصر، إن الإنسان لفي خسر، إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. صدق الله العظيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: بادروا بالأعمال فتنا كقطع الليل المظلم، يصبح الرجل مؤمنا ويمسي كافرا، أو يمسي مؤمنا ويصبح كافرا، يبيع أحدهم دينه بعرض من الدنيا، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Alhamdulillah, my dear respected brothers and elders, we find ourselves at the turn of the new year. Almost a month has already commenced into the new year. But just to expound on what might have already been said with regards to this, you find that at the turn of the new year, there are different groups of people who react differently to the turn of the year. They are that group which fall into the category of tashabbuh, and they identify or they imitate the turn of the new year of the disbelievers as well. And they take this to be a time of merrymaking, a time of enjoyment, and a time of happiness. But that is not the correct attitude to the passage of time. With regards to any passage of time, be it a year, be it a day, be it a moment, be it a second, it is not a time of merrymaking and enjoyment. Like the poet says, إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ أَيَّامٍ, that you are nothing but a conglomeration or but a collection of days. Every day that passes, a portion of you is passing. Every moment that passes, every year that passes, means that you are going closer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you are going closer towards the qabr. You are going closer towards mahshar. You are going closer towards hisab kitab. You are going closer towards standing in front of the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being accountable for your actions. So to enjoy, to rejoice at the passing of time, that is not the correct attitude. Then you find those that completely ignore the turning of the new year. They completely ignore any passage of time as well. This is not the correct attitude as well, because in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds time, the facets of time, the tools of time in high esteem. If you analyze the Quran Kareem, find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places great importance on the assets of time or the facets of time. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam by the day, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam by the day, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the sun, which causes the day to come in, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam by night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam by the moon, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam by the morning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالضُحَى. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam by time on its own. Time as a whole holds such high esteem in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْعَصْرِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam in time on itself as well. This qasam is for us not to only know that time holds an importance in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now bringing our attention towards time. And how do we utilize it? And what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bringing our attention to with regards to time? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرِ. That with regards to this time, with regards to that allotted days that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, that limited amount of days that has been specified to every individual, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that by default, every single human being with regards to his days that he has been allocated is at a loss. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرِ. That every one of us seated here by default are at a loss with regards to it. How do we save ourselves from being at a loss with regards to these days that we have been allocated? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. except those who bring iman and they follow up this iman with good actions. What is the meaning of bringing iman? Is having yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reciting kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and not only reciting this kalima but bringing in our lives the reality of this kalima. What is meant by this? What is meant by the reality of the kalima? See, unfortunately, a person sometimes falls under the misinterpretation of the various ayat of the Quran Kareem and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he falls into the misconception that merely reciting kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah and just acting upon a few actions of deen is sufficient for my salvation in the hereafter. But the iman, just the words of iman, is not what is required from us. But the reality of iman is what is required. What is the difference between the two? The example is brought. For example, if you take a lion, one is a picture of a lion, and the other is the haqiqat, the real, a real lion. A picture of a lion, except a child who assumes that the picture is something that is real. Even an extremely weak person will go and touch it. He will not be afraid of it. But if you take a real lion, if somebody has to announce that now there is a lion within this building, even the strongest person will run for cover. He will run into a cupboard and he will be cowering and shivering with fear. So similarly, my dear brothers, surat, the image of iman, is not what is required. Just reciting the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. But the haqiqat of this iman, that when we say la, we negate everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have that full conviction that everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We hear it time and again, but my dear brothers, the reality has to settle into our heart, that la, we remove everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from our hearts, and bring within us that yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that nothing does besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that the success lies only in the lifestyle of following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, accepting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as our Nabi, is not only restricted to just proclaiming love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and believing that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the final Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but to bring every aspect of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives. Like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned in the hadith, man ahya sunnati faqad ahabbani wa man ahabbani kana ma'iya fil jannah. That person who brings the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alive in his life, he is the person who has a true love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his heart. And that person who has the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will be Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's companion in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us true ashiqi rasul, true lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of having the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah. So that is the first two aspects that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first aspect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, that will save a person from being at a loss with regards to his time, is that he brings iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and has the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the true love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And along with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَمِلُ الصَّالِحَاتِ, that of this person, he does good actions. He follows up his iman with good actions. He reads whatever is farz upon him, the salah that is farz upon him, the zakat that is farz upon him, he discharges that. And not only that, he goes over and above that. He does the nafil ibadat, those that are not mandatory, those that are mustahab, those that are nafil, he is given a choice with regards to it. That he does that as well. Then this person will be from among those who are saving themselves from being at a loss with regards to time. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that is also not sufficient for a person to be saved from being at a loss with regards to his time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ, that they assist one another with regards to haqq, with regards to truth. وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ, and they assist one another with regards to remaining steadfast on deen. This word sabr that we hear, it is generally translated as patience. But the mufassirin explain, or the muhaddisin explain, that sabr refers to two things. One is sabr ala ta'a, that to remain steadfast upon the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other is sabr anil ma'siyah, to remain steadfast against steadfast away from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when a temptation is put in front of you, you do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You be patient with regards to your carnal desires and your nafs. That is what is meant by sabr. So to save ourselves from being at a loss with regards to our time, These are the four aspects that we have to bring into our lives. And my dear brothers, what better time to make an intention, to make a niyat. I spoke about the shabbuh bil kuffar at the beginning of this explanation, that at this time people identify or they begin to imitate the disbelievers, those who do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they use it to rejoice and merrymake at the turn of the new year. But my dear brothers, there is one very good aspect that we can derive from this as well, is that the resolutions that take place, that niyat, that intention to better a person at the turn of the new year, my dear brothers, we have to realize that the time that has passed, we are going to be taken accountable for it. At the time that is going to come as well, we are going to be accountable for that. This year that has passed, have we spent it in a way that we are ready to present it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And my dear brothers, we have to make this firm intention that the year to come, and the year to come, and the years to come, my dear brothers, it has to be such a year that we have to be confident that we are able to present it in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spent in a way that we are not in a loss with regards to our time. Spent in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam want us to spend it. And what better time to make it that is in the month of Muharram, the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the month of Muharram, that month that is a reminder for us that what has the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come for, and what is required of us from amongst the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say that the month of Muharram, whilst it has become synonymous with the incident of Karbala, Muharram is not about Karbala. But the lesson and the incident of Karbala, the lesson behind Karbala can never be forgotten. That what was it that caused the martyrdom of so many of the Ali Rasul? What was it that caused the so many of the family and the progenies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Those that were elderly and those that were in the infancy as well. Why was Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu prepared to sacrifice the lives of those people who are from the progeny of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It's an extremely lengthy incident. And without wanting to go into the controversial aspects, for example, with regards to Yazid, what was the differences between Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Yazid? Why did Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu not want to give the leadership over to Yazid? The assassination of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu was not about leadership. Understand this, it was not befitting of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu to be a person who was power hungry and wanting leadership. And with regards to whatever Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu did, it would not have had an impact with regards to his akhirat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his lifetime tells Hazrat Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, wal Hassan wal Hussein sayyida shababi ahli al-jannah, that not only are they guaranteed jannah, but they are from amongst the leaders of the youth of jannah. So whatever Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu did after that, it would not have had an impact with regards to his akhirat. But yet he was ready to sacrifice his life and the lives of the Ali Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who were present at that time. Why, my dear brothers? Because if he had to accept whatever regulations and laws were being imposed upon him, he had to hand over the leadership as was desired, my dear brothers, then it would mean that whatever disobedience was found in those laws and regulations, by him accepting that, the people of the who were following him and looking up to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and looking up to him as the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their deen and their iman would be at peril. And not only those people at that time, but for the people to come, that they will look at this and they will say that these certain things are allowed in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it was accepted by the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to keep the deen intact, to keep the deen of not only his people around him, but to keep the deen of the people of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till qiyamah to come, to keep that preservation of deen, to keep our deen intact, he was ready to sacrifice his life and the lives of the infants and the lives of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just to keep the deen intact. My dear brothers, with regards to the deen that has now come to us, let alone making an effort to keep this deen intact for the sake of our carnal desires and our whims and our fancies, We are ready to sacrifice the same deen which Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum sacrificed for. That Ali Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was slaughtered for. We are ready to sacrifice the deen for the sake of our whims and fancies. Whereas there was a time when the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were ready to sacrifice their lives of their children and their family just for the deen to remain intact. My dear brothers, this month of Muharram is a reminder for us that the sacrifice of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the sacrifice and qurbani of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has it ever crossed our mind that why is it that the month or the year of Hijrat was chosen as the year for the Islamic calendar to begin? There are so many auspicious occasions that had occurred from the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the nubuwwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From amongst the many various auspicious occasions that had taken place during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why is it that the year of Hijrat, we know it as the Hijri calendar, and the year one was the year that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made Hijrat from Medina Munawwara from Makkah Mukarrama to Medina Munawwara, why is it that this year that was chosen as the year to begin the Islamic calendar? Because the sacrifice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sacrifice of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that sacrifice of everything, their homes, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sacrificed the beloved to be the neighbor of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Kaaba Musharrafa, whatever wealth, besides whatever they could carry on one or two camels or on their backs, whatever wealth they had, whatever homes they had, whatever family they had to leave it behind and sacrifice for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, not for their own akhirat. Their akhirat was made. Those Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum wa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at that time, most of all of them were guaranteed Jannah. It was not for the sake of their akhirat, my dear brothers, but for the sake of our akhirat. That sacrifice took place and they left their homes, their family and whatever wealth they had, and they went to Medina Munawwara. And not only that, this incident was the most pivotal point at the time in the history of Islam, that when the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were in Makkah Mukarrama, Islam was spreading but at a very slow pace, but once that ultimate sacrifice took place and they made Hijrat for the sake of deen and the sake of Iman and they went through Medina Munawwara, then you find that people began coming into the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in droves. For us to not forget the sacrifice of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and the sacrifice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu made the decision that the Islamic calendar will begin from the year that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made that Hijrat. So this is a reminder for us that this is a month of sacrifice, a month of qurbani, and a month of mukhalafat as well. What is meant by mukhalafat is that everything that we oppose every action of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you during this month, the 10th, the fasting of the 10th of Muharram, again a reminder for us that the first fast that was farz upon the believers in Makkah was the fast of the 10th of Muharram. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina Munawwara, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw that the Jews also were fasting on this day. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for us to understand again how important it is for the preservation of our deen, and so that there should not be any takhallut, any mixture in our deen, and there should not be any imitation of other deens in our deen. What does Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam give the commandment? That if, just so that the people do not assume that our deen is very similar to the deen of the kuffar or the deen of the yahood, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the fasting should be on the 9th and the 10th, or the 10th and the 11th. This was the command of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why, my dear brothers? Is so that the fear of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not even want us to be similar to the disbelievers with regards to our ibadat, with regards to our fasting as well. This again, my dear brothers, the lessons behind the month of Muharram, the lessons of the coming of the new year, my dear brothers, is that of qurbani, of that of sacrifice, and the preservation of our deen. So we should all analyze is introgress and retrogress, my dear brothers. Think of the years that have passed and the years that have to come, my dear brothers. Are we ready to present this in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are we coming closer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is our lifestyle coming closer to the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Are we slowly moving more towards the lifestyles of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Understand that even in our ibadah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not want there to be any imitation between the Muslims and the Yahud. And we should look at every other aspect of our lives, whether it comes to our dressing, whether it comes to our choices for our children, what our desires for them. Do we desire more deen for them, or do we desire more dunya for them? Do we want their lifestyle to be like the lifestyle of the Yahud and the Nasara? If you look at our weddings that are taking place, what kind of a wedding? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just to touch on this, it is an entire topic on its own, but just for us to understand, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith that a'zamun nikahi baraka aysaruha ma'una, that you want barakat in your nikah, you want a long lasting nikah, then what do? You have the most simple with regards to expenditure. It's not that you have a small wedding, but you keep the wedding, the expenditure of the wedding so extremely simple. Invite as many people as you want, but leave out the glamour and the lavish adornments that are completely unnecessary, that will be thrown away into the trash within a day or two. Millions are spent behind us, my dear brothers. For what? We are sacrificing our dunya for what? To break the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To break the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And every desire of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu made sacrifice for. What Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu made sacrifice for. Not only are we giving in to it, but we are spending millions and billions behind it to break that sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To break whatever deen, whatever sacrifice the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu made for. My dear brothers, if bare minimum, we cannot sacrifice or we cannot make a sacrifice for the sake of deen, my dear brothers, at least make an effort not to break the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right now, we have come to the point where we are making a concerted effort to break the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First, at least bare minimum, stop making that effort to break the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we will find that we will be obeying the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this, my dear brothers, we have to make a sacrifice. Take some time out for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to spend more time in the masjid, more time in those environments which are conducive to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those environments that will remind us about the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have some ta'lim in the home so that we may impart some desires of deen towards our children as well, and the women folk as well. Then inshallah we'll find that the desire of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and the desire of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will slowly come creeping back in this ummah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.